When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Hi, and welcome to my podcast. I shouldn't say this, but my name is Katie Leeson, and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK. This is season 2, episode 11, first podcast of the new decade. And with me, as always, I feel like there needs to be a drum roll there, is producer Dodds.
Hello. Hi. I feel like you couldn't remember what you said. I'm a bit rusty after not doing a podcast for I certainly feel rusty.
I know exactly what I was saying. I'm back. How was your Christmas and your new year?
Do you know what? Hand on heart, I wish I'd done something better. I did nothing. And then I came back and go, oh, I've done nothing. Like, how boring is that?
But I didn't do anything either. But I feel really good for it.
Like, we're supposed to be these, like, you know, going out and doing stuff. And I don't know.
I did a bit of walk. I did a few walks, but nothing major. I can't say I'm walking because that's would be a lie. But
I mean, we all walked over Christmas. Most of us did, I imagine.
I didn't do a lot. So I spent a lot of time on my sofa. I watched you, seasons 1 and 2.
Oh my God. I didn't know you watched that.
Yes.
Did you not see the first season?
Yes,
it's
I watched it.
Good.
I watched it over Christmas. I binge watched it and it scared me. So now I set the alarm at night.
What?
Because I don't know. There's something just freaked me out about the first series.
What do you mean you set your alarm?
Like the house alarm.
Oh, right. What you meant, just like...
No, not... I set my alarm to wake up.
We're already off track.
But yeah, that's what I did. I did a lot of resting, a lot of recuperating, rested my mind. I feel really good for it as well. I feel like it was a good use of 2 weeks. So you saying that you feel bad for not doing anything, don't feel guilty. Sometimes you just need that rest.
Yeah, I probably did. I basically slept for the beginning half of it, so...
But you needed it. We were absolutely exhausted at the back end of last year. So.
Yeah.
And it's meaning now that we can come back into this with complete gusto.
Yeah. But I do need something new to watch on Netflix.
So do I.
We were just saying.
Oh, any recommendations from anyone, please send them in because I do need something new to watch now. I really hope that you all had a fabulous break as well and you're ready to tackle this new, not just a new year, but a new decade head on. I've got a really good feeling about 2020. My friend says that any even year is always a good year for a start. And also this is like a double even year because it's 2020.
Nice.
So this year's going to be great. You've heard it here first. We are a marketing podcast. So we go through a marketing news and any news we think would be of use to you. And then we are going back to admission submissions. So something that we didn't do over Christmas because we focused on Christmas ads. But my favorite part of the podcast is when you guys send in admission submissions to the website, which is www.katieleeson.com. And I will try my best to give you the best advice from my experience and from what I know and from people that have taught me things to try and help you with what you're going through. And then from there, we're going to start something new once a month, but I'll talk about that. I will leave that little tidbit there so you can carry on listening. And then finally, I'm going to go into my main topic, which this week is, I shouldn't say this, but resolutions suck. Shall we start with the news?
Absolutely.
Okay, so We had a good chat about what we want to do in this week's episode, because coming back after the new year, obviously this is a marketing news podcast, and what we have always promised to do is only bring you marketing updates that we feel will be adding something to your week, not stuff that you can find anywhere else. But the news is pretty bleak in general at the moment. Marketing news, there isn't a lot going on with it being just after Christmas. And it would be very remiss of us not to talk about what is going on in the world, but also the positive elements of what has come of a terrible tragedy in Australia. But there have been positives of how social media has been of benefit in helping raise money and help for the Australian people and the emergency services over there. So I'm sure you are aware that there is a huge, huge bushfire in Australia at the moment. And I'm not going to go into the detail of it, but there's a few bits that I wanted to pick out the positive side of what has happened.
Also, I've not seen really any mention of good things. You know what I mean? These urban things we've had to find.
Yeah, we have had to really find good stories. Steve Irwin, we all know who he was and the legacy he has left, and the family still work very hard for animals and the sanctuary in Australia. And the Irwin family has actually saved 90,000 animals from the Australian bushfires. And I think that is just wonderful that they can do that with the notoriety that they have, and be able to put what they've been building all these years into some real use in saving animals. Obviously, there's been a lot of animals that have been killed in these bushfires, but there are steps being made to try and help save those. And also social media, I'm sure you've seen every social media influencer, every celebrity has been posting, raising awareness on the fires and what you can do to help. And in 48 hours, there's been £10 million raised to help the authorities in Australia. With many celebrities donated themselves, but also just using their profile to help raise awareness to get more people to donate and support. So social media being used at its best, I think, in this case. And just to add on to that, one thing that we have seen in the news this morning is that an Instagram model has helped to raise $700,000 by selling pictures of her nudes to her audience. That is using your assets for a great cause.
Absolutely. And what a commendable effort.
She's been called a philanthropist. That is very entrepreneurial of her.
It says here that she raised more than $700,000 for the victims by sending nude photographs of herself to anyone who donates more than $10 to one of the chosen charities. I will say that I will also be doing this. For anybody that donates $10, I will send nudes to you.
I reckon you're going to raise a million, never mind $700,000. Right. We're going for the mill.
No, I don't want to sound that like I was taking the mick. Like,
it is.
I'm
funny.
Not actually going to do it.
I mean, it is funny though. I mean, it's using what you've got to your advantage.
£700,000 is a ridiculous amount of money. So congratulations to her.
Well, yeah, well done. And more, we've seen that more than 200 volunteer firefighters from the US and from Canada have been deployed to help with the fire. So out of some terrible tragedy, which is a world issue, and seems like it took a long time for the world to catch up with what was going on there. When I say the world, I mean our political governance. But now it seems like we are starting to move forward, but also shows the power of the people in wanting to help. So we will all continue to pray for rain. Also, I saw that there was a few things over social within a couple of days of the new year that says that we are done for 2020 and the highlight of the year has already been made. If you didn't see this, this segues quite nicely talking about environmental issues. Celebrity mastermind, an actress from Holby City, was asked who the teenage activist was. And her answer was Sharon. Now, that was funny in itself and has had over 5 million views on the video.
There's some absolute golden nuggets come out of the chase, isn't there?
That was Celebrity Mastermind.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was the chase.
Yeah.
The chase is good as well.
The chase is great. The chase is great. Not only has it had 5 million views on the video, but also great piece of reactive content, I guess, from Greta. She changed her Twitter profile and changed her name to Sharon very quickly after it happened. She's really quick, actually, in responding to how people talk about her.
Yeah, she's done something like that before. She's done it with Donald Trump.
She's done it with Donald Trump, and she's done it when people have talked positively about her as well. But she's also done it with, I think it was a Brazilian president who talked about her in a certain way. And she's very reactive.
It's very clever if you've got, she's tweeting a lot, obviously, about the Australian bushfires, and then doing something like that will bring a lot of attention to your profile, which then helps you get your message out. So although it's lighthearted, there's probably some good come from it.
And we've talked a lot on the podcast before about living your personal brand, but really knowing your values and how you put yourself out there. And it's definitely of like part of what she is like, part of her values is fun.
Relatable, reactive kind of.
And fun. Like she obviously, she's doing an absolutely incredible job to make us all think about what we're doing for the world, but also by adding a bit of her personality in there, which is what we should all do. It's not all serious. It's not all great, but it's not all serious.
No. And that's like, I don't want people to think that we're taking a very lighthearted approach on a very serious topic. It's just that we wanted to highlight some of these more positive efforts that are going on.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note as well that because there is so much negativity going on in the news at the moment, and a lot of scaremongering and fear. I personally I've switched off from the news.
It's numb to it, aren't you, really?
Yeah, I can't watch it. I'm trying to have a really positive mindset and I'm trying to look after myself. And I think I think
that's what most people are doing, because you just can't see it because it's so far away.
But I know it's there, and I will do what I can and all that sort of stuff, but I don't want to be bombarded with it. So for us, we're not taking the mick out of a serious subject or serious subjects. We're trying to bring a bit of my own values. One of my values is fun and humour, and just trying to make all of our days a little bit better by looking at the positive side of humanity. These are admission submission. So as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, these are my favourite things because I get to interact with the listeners. It's quite difficult when we're just sat in our own little room. We are just sat here talking to each other, but I love to hear the things that you're dealing with and try and help the best I can. So if you've got an admission submission, and I'll do this again at the end of this section, but if you've got an admission submission, the website to leave it on is www.katieleeson.com. So the website's going to have a fresh new look. I've had some new photos taken. I had a little photo shoot, begrudgingly. I hate having my photo taken, and I vetted about 95% of the photos. But you can leave your admission submission there. So I'm going to go through them. I'll read them out. They're anonymous, so we don't need to know who you are. But I'm going to read them out, and then I'll answer as best I can. First admission submission is from a female age 21, and it reads, "Hey Katie, started listening to the pod over Christmas and I love it. Thank you very much. I was wondering, and I'm not sure if you've covered it in episodes I've not listened to yet, but what is something you wish you would have told yourself growing up?" It's quite timely, actually, because just before Christmas, my parents delivered to me a box of things that I had at my mum and dad's house, because they were getting the hall and stairs decorated for Christmas, even though it was just the four of us at home. For some reason, it needed to have a fresh paint. And I was like, oh, God. I looked in the boxes, and alongside a load of old CDs and DVDs and cuddly toys and things like that that I had left there. As I got through the box, there was a couple of things in there that really made me think about myself. First one was, there was a load of old photos from when I was in sixth form. And then also there was my certificate of achievements from school and my personal statement from when I was fifth year going into sixth form. And my God, I will post it because it's absolutely hilarious. I've shown it to Dodds already, but just the way that it reads. There are so many spelling mistakes in it. But the thing about that is my parents were teachers, so I must have been having a proper teenager moment and refused to let them read it because I hated them marking my work. So I must have done it without my parents checking, but there are spelling mistakes all over it. I didn't. Honestly, it's hilarious. I say that I'm really good at the internet and I like to look at sites to check out websites to buy things on. So obviously I was destined to work in social media and the world of digital marketing. But looking back on the pictures, there's definitely things I don't recognise myself now to that person. That person in those pictures seems a very different character to who I am now. And thinking about what I would have told my younger self in those photos was not to worry about what other people thought of me. I think I was so concerned about fitting in and being popular and hanging out with the girls that were the popular, cool girls that I really did myself a disservice when it came to my work. And I put that over actually concentrating on learning. And yeah, I would definitely tell myself to stop, not worry about what people think of you, because you'll find your friends that you naturally are more aligned to if you are yourself. I just remember being very insecure and spending so much time worrying about whether I looked all right, whether I fit in, whether any boys liked me. And now I wish I'd just had a bit more confidence in myself to know that everything was going to be all right, which is hard when you're 17, 18 and you're learning about yourself. And also to eat more. My God, I was skinny. I was far too skinny. So I definitely would have told myself to eat more. Not to worry about things that are out of my control. I have done that my whole life and I think it's only in the last year that I have really tried to stop worrying about things that I cannot control and live in the moment. I can't worry about things that have happened because they're in the past. I can learn from them, but I can't worry about them. And I can't worry about things that might or might not happen in the future. So be present and really enjoy every moment. And the final thing is not to be a people pleaser, which I guess is linked with trying to fit in, trying to be different people to different people, like trying to change yourself to mold to fit in. That would be my advice to my younger self. So to round that off, my tips would be, for me, looking back at those pictures, eat more. It wasn't because I was trying to be skinny. I've always been really small, but I think I didn't eat because I was worried about missing out on something that might happen and then not fitting in because I was out of the joke or out of the loop. So I chose to eat stuff out of a vending machine in the sixth form common room because of the fact that I didn't want to miss out. And not worrying about things I can't control. I was the anxiousness in me at that age, and I think I've mentioned this before, but in my sixth form, start of sixth form, I was being sick every morning. And that was because of my anxiety. And I didn't know that at the time, but I was winding myself so much about fitting in and not embarrassing myself and having no confidence that people would like me. That I used to wind myself up so much that I was sick every morning before I went into sixth form. So for me now, looking back, it'd definitely be don't worry about what other people think of you. You will find your rhythm, you will find your groove, and looking after yourself and understanding yourself and what makes you happy will ultimately guide you to the friendship groups that make sense for you. I think I'm very lucky that I've still got some amazing friends that I had in school, and I'm now 35 and I left at 18, 19, and me and my four friends are we're incredibly close and we spend as much time together as we can. And I'm very lucky to have that. But that's because they like me for who I am, not because of what I was trying to fit in when I was 17, 18. So I definitely tell myself that things are better if you know yourself, and also just eat. Don't worry about missing out. Make sure you eat some food. Moving on to the next one. This is from a female age 34. Katie, do you have any issues with receiving feedback? Negative feedback is something I've previously struggled with in the past, and I wondered what was the best way to try it and absorb it. So feedback, I have for a long time shied away from receiving feedback because I'm worried about negative feedback. From the previous submission, where I talked about my younger self and wanting to fit in, I want to be my best self all the time. And if I get negative feedback, that means that I haven't been my best self and it rocks me. I have started to turn my mind on feedback and understand that I learn my most powerful lessons when I find that I'm not doing something to the best of my ability, or there's a learning opportunity to be had. It's not easy. It's incredibly hard for me, and it takes a lot of courage, and I feel like it's like a leap for me to ask for feedback. It's a very much a blocker, and I feel like I need to leap into getting it. It feels like I need to jump. It's like I'm on the edge of a cliff, and I need to jump into getting it. That's that physically how it feels to me. One trick that I have found is incredibly useful is using stop, start and continue. This is something that was brought to me by Nolene, our head of projects, who'd used it previously. And what you do is you go out to your colleagues and your manager and you ask for feedback, what you should stop doing, what you should start doing, and what you should continue doing. And then you're not just focusing on the negative, you're also focusing on the positive, but the stop will give you a good idea of your learning opportunities. I'm doing that with my heads of department at the moment, and I'm feeding back into them what they should stop, what they should start, and what they should continue. And then I'm building out goals for Q1 for them. So rather than making it a full annual goal, I'm doing it for just Q1, and we're going to revisit those stop, start and continues to make sure that they're developing. And I think when you're receiving feedback, understand that no one wants to give you negative feedback. No one wants to upset you. They want to do it in a way that's going to help you and the company be better. So look at it not as a personal thing. I've talked before about separating Katie the person from Katie the business side of me, and look at feedback from a business side. How is it going to make you better at your job? And if you can take it in that vein, you will receive feedback as a positive because you will be able to grow and develop. Final admission submission of this week is from a male age 30. Hey Katie, I'm managing a small team in Manchester, and I think the most important skill they need to improve on is problem solving. How do you problem solve at Social Chain? This is incredibly timely because there's been a new list of job skills that are the top 10 skills needed for applying for jobs in 2020. And the top one is actually complex problem solving. The others are critical thinking, creativity, people management, coordinating with others, emotional intelligence, which I think is something that we will cover in a future episode because it's incredibly important, judgment and decision making, service orientation, negotiation, which is another one I would like to do a episode on actually, and cognitive flexibility. So we will talk, first of all, about complex problem solving. I'm not going to teach you to suck eggs here. Everyone's got a problem solving their job every day. But there are probably about 4 or 5 steps that I take if I have a problem that I need to solve, depending on the problem. So I have to deal with quite a lot of problems. I think probably my biggest part of my job is problem solving. People only tend to come to me when there is a problem. So my way of dealing with it is to not jump in straight away. Is my first tip and my first step is to really step back and have a look at the full picture of what the problem is and why, and then also get all of the facts to why the story and why the problem is a problem. So if it's a people problem and someone is having problems with a colleague, make sure you listen to both sides of the story and understand any mitigating factors as to why that problem might be a problem in the first place before then you can start to come up with a solution. So take a step back is my first thing. My second tip is to have one or two people that you can really rely on to talk these problems through with. These tend to fall into different categories for me. One is my parents, my dad especially. My dad worked in business and has dealt with a lot of problems. His job used to be dealing with schools and teachers when there used to be issues. So my dad was incredibly good at problem solving, and I like just to sort of bounce ideas off him, especially when he doesn't really understand my world. So it's helpful in terms of taking the emotion out of it. Dad's quite good at talking things through. And then internally as well, I have people that I trust, because it's important when you are leading or when you have got a problem that you don't let that problem, what I say is, vibrate onto other people. So you are a good barometer of emotion. Don't let that problem seep into everyone else and make everyone else panic or worry. So you've got to take the time to really center yourself and be like a swan. On the surface, everything looks fine. Underneath, you're kicking crazily because you're trying to solve this problem. But in order to do that, you do need a couple of people that you can really trust internally at the office that you can say, right, this has happened. This is what I'm thinking of doing. Do you agree? And I have that, and I'm very lucky to have that. So once you've spoken to people and once you've got your head around what the problem actually is, start to think of the plan and the approaches that you could take to get to the goal of what you're trying to solve. Because it doesn't have to be a people problem. It can just be a problem that you're trying to reach a new area or a new goal. And you then need to sit down and figure out what your options are to reaching that goal and work out the best one for getting there. And again, you can go back to those people that you trust and say, right, these are the options that I think we should go with. This is what I'm thinking. Do you agree? Do you disagree? And just sort of talk it out. See where you get to with it and see what people, because other people's opinions are incredibly important when you're trying to come up with a decision and trying to reach a goal. And then finally, once you've done that and you are on your journey there, don't stop there. That's not the problem solved. You need to keep a very close eye on what it was that was derailing you from that goal and checking in to make sure that you are on the right track to still reaching it as you go along. And then you will hopefully reach the goal and you will have solved your problem. So my four tips are to, if you have the luxury of time, taking a step back and really thinking about what the problem is. The second one is having a group of people that you can rely on, that you can talk it out with. So you go around all the options and you really make it clear in your head. The third is to look at your different alternative routes to reach your goal. And the fourth one is not to stop once you've done that. It's to keep really close to what you're trying to achieve and what you're doing in order to reach that final goal. That is the end of the admission submissions for this week. If you want to leave your own and you're struggling with something and you would like to talk to us about problem solving, and we can be your helpers when you're trying to solve a problem, please go to the website www.katieleeson.com and we will answer them in future episodes. Next part of the podcast, we're going to talk about a bit of a new segment that we're going to do once a month. Part of my goals, I was going to say resolutions then, but we're going to say resolutions are sucky, so I'm not going to say that. But one of the things that I really want to do, not just for this year, but for myself, is to read more books. I spend a lot of time on my phone and it scares me when I get notifications of how long I've been on there. And it's like 6 hours a day, which is terrifying to me. So what I want to try and do is take that time off my phone and really start to get my brain going a little bit and inspire myself. So what I'm doing now is I'm listening to audiobooks rather than read, because I find reading quite difficult. So I'm shutting my brain off and I'm listening to an audiobook. And what I'm going to do for you to keep me accountable, which is what is wonderful about this podcast, I'm going to do a book review once a month. So every month I'm going to have a new book that I will have listened to or read, and I will share with you what I've learned from that book. So the format will be, I will listen to it or I will read it, and I will tell you exactly the book is about, who it's by, what it covers, and then I'll tell you what my important lessons are from that book. So if you've ever had something called Blinkist, it will be a little bit like that. It'll be what I've learned from it, my top tips, and the key things that stand out from those books.
What kind of books are they going to be?
They're going to be, they're not going to be like fiction.
Mr. Happy.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll be Where's Wally?
Mr. Podcast.
No, it's going to be things that I find interesting, to be honest. So it'll be a mixture of autobiographies and also leadership books and workbooks. So the first one that I am currently listening to, which by complete coincidence, Dodds is also listening to, is the Michelle Obama book.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit ahead of Dodds at the moment.
Very good so far.
So good so far. But I think this will be a really good one because it's a very powerful female who has learnt a lot along her journey through her life. And I will be coming back to you on what my thoughts are on that once I've finished it.
Okay. Yeah? How exciting. There's probably an opportunity there for people to get in touch, say what book they would like you to review, you know, books that they've read or books that they want to read and stuff.
Yes.
And then that's also an invitation for, say, what is it today? The 7th, which is the beginning of January, sort of the first episode of February, or the first episode of the month, we'll sit down and review it. So if somebody else wants to also listen to that book or read that book during that month period, they can. And then, you know, they'll know what we're talking about.
And tell us what you think of it as well and what your key takeouts were, and we'll include them when we're doing the book review. I'd like it to be a bit more two-way rather than one-way.
Yeah. We could all learn together.
We will learn together. Nice. So it'll be a mixture of things like autobiographies like that, but also things, I've got another book that I need to start working my way through, which is The Language of Leaders, which will help us all be better leaders.
Is that the book that came from the interview?
It is. It's the book that came from the interview with Diane from The Drum.
Mm-hmm.
So books is my thing.
Exciting.
Yes. We're all going to expand our minds.
This year.
This year and forever.
But that's not a resolution.
It's not a resolution because now it is my main topic of the week, which is, I shouldn't say this, but resolutions suck. We all know that about 80% of resolutions that are set at the beginning of the year fall flat within the first 2 weeks. So if you have set a resolution, you are probably not fulfilling that resolution now. And what we didn't want to do on this podcast is talk to you about how resolutions fail. What we want to do is talk about the fact that the end of year gives you time and that freedom in your mind when you're not running around trying to do everything day to day. It gives you time of reflection. And they usually, when you think of resolutions, it tends to have quite a negative connotation. It's things like lose weight, save money, eat healthy to lose weight or be healthier, drink more water. To me, you end up beating yourself up when you don't do it. And also you try and do too much too quickly and you end up overpowering yourself.
It's like reflecting on all the negative aspects of your own personality, isn't it? So if yours was like the insecure thing, it'd be like more confident because I'm not this person.
Yeah.
I'm in debt, which is a negative. So like, let's...
Yeah, so it's looking at what you're not or what you could be and then trying to fit yourself around that.
By setting an impossible, not prepared task of like, I'll just lose two stone or whatever it is. Yeah,
and then you get frustrated.
Save 2 grand, but yeah.
So this year...
It's a good point really, actually.
This year, what I have done, instead of doing resolutions, I did spend a lot of time reflecting on 2019 and then also thinking about what I want to do for not just 2020 but today and tomorrow and the day after. So looking at it in days rather than actual years, and hopefully making new habits rather than resolutions.
I feel like people go with resolutions, sorry to jump in,
it's all right,
they go like, oh, you don't need like a resolution or a day to like tell you da da da, and it's not necessarily January the 1st is I'm going to do it. It's more I'm off for Christmas, and you do just think, oh, another year's gone. I wish I... Do you know what I mean? It's not like, wait, it's not because it's January the 1st. I think it's more because you've got time to reflect.
It's a good breaker as well, isn't it? New start, new year.
So don't like, I don't want people to be like, oh, I can't come up with a resolution. Do you know what I mean? Like, you, that's what you do, don't you? Reflect, yeah. Oh, I wish I'd read more, or like, like, you do, it's impossible not to, really.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Even if they
it's
do
that
suck.
Time. Yeah, it's because you have that break. Mm. You've got a break from work, you sit, you just, your brain can relax. So I'm going to go into a little bit about what I learned in 2019. 2019 for me, if you've listened to the podcast, you will know that it was a year of two halves.
It's a good year to start a podcast, I'd say. Not short on content.
Yeah, not short on content. But also, definitely year of two halves. So the first half of the year, I probably learned about myself. The whole of 2019, I think I learned more about myself than I ever have in my 35 years on the planet. First half of the year was definitely about hitting the lowest of lows that I have ever experienced, and then coming out of that, of how to deal with that, and then not hitting the highest of highs, but mainly understanding and appreciating the feeling of being happy, which meant that the second half of the year, from the summer onwards, meant that I had the
from Ibiza onwards,
I had the time of my life. I had the best summer.
Yeah, we had a good time in Ibiza, didn't we?
I just had the best time. I think from
deserved and well needed. I think
probably from June onwards, I had an amazing time. Which is why I say it was a year of two halves. The first half was very sad and I really struggled. And the second half, I really embraced that feeling of happiness again and not feeling so low, and used that to my advantage to make amazing memories.
There's lots to be said about if you hadn't have gone through those first 6 months, that the...
Oh, I would have just coached
it. Not just the latter 6 months, but, you know, the next years are going to be...
I think I would have just coasted again, and I think that's what I was doing. I think I was coasting rather than really appreciating feeling happy and really enjoying the moments when they came along. What did I learn? I definitely learned that I am stronger than I think. And... also I think the worry thing was a big thing for me, not to worry about things I can't control. And I think going through something like a miscarriage, which I have said for this year is not going to define me, and it's not going to be something we're going to talk about that often. But going through something like that, which you cannot control, it's your body, you can't do anything about it, has meant that I don't worry about those things that I can't control now. When I've reflected, one of the things that I really, everything that my body was craving and my mind was craving at the back end of the year was calm. I was really aching to have a bit of headspace and a bit of quiet and a moment of reflection, even if that's within one day or over a week or whatever. My body was craving it. So I was talking to my friend about what hobbies I want to do or where I want to go on holiday. And every answer was surrounded around finding some inner calm. And what I realized was I was really craving yoga. And I've not done it for so long. And for some reason, there's been some sort of blocker on me not wanting to do it. And I don't know why.
Maybe it's just that initial jump into getting in. Once you get into the routine, I imagine it's
easier.
I wonder if that's why you want to put down your phone as well. Just have that calm.
Yeah, it is. Because I think my life is so hectic in work as well. And I think because I am that problem solver, a lot of it is chasing your tail a little bit. And what I need from my personal life is to not do that as well. So I need a lot of calm in my personal life and no dramas. And not to be constantly on. I need a bit of like mental headspace, and it makes me feel better. So this year for me is all about applying what I've learned in the last year. It's about building my confidence up more, knowing myself, knowing what makes me happy, knowing my friends, knowing the food that I like and cooking and all that sort of stuff. And it's taking that into the new year. I've started the new year by doing yoga. You bought me an amazing Christmas present, which was a book of yoga, which I am now doing. And I've started a 30-day yoga course at home, which is a lady on YouTube, which Karen actually told me about, therapist Karen, which is Yoga with Adrian. And she does actually, she told me about it when I was struggling with grief, because she does YouTube videos on yoga for grief, yoga for energy, yoga for stress and tension. So we can put a little link into her YouTube page in the show notes. But she's now just released at the start of this year, 30 days of yoga at home. So I'm doing that. I've done day 3 this morning. Part of what I really want to do is have, what I needed to figure out is time when I could find that calm, because otherwise I knew that I would start getting into that routine again of just chasing my tail all the time. And I am terrible at getting up in the morning. Hate waking up. I love my sleep. But what I've done is, because I love doing yoga, I've really found that's what makes me happy. I'm getting up in the morning and I am doing yoga at 7:30. So this morning I got up 7:30, did half an hour of yoga, did my day 3. And then I got up, came into work, and I feel great for it. My mind feels clear.
Accomplished something, I guess.
I've accomplished something, but also I feel very centered, very calm, very chilled. And I'm hoping that that's going to follow through. So I need to be really strict with myself. So again, this podcast is going to hold me accountable.
Some progress on that. I wonder if, because you are spending more time on yourself, I guess that will have a better impact. You're coming to work not stressed, late, you're coming in, you've accomplished something, so you feel great, you're motivated, you're refreshed because what you did was energetic, and now you feel more awake. And then you start at 9:30 on the dot, bang, ready to go, rather than, you know, coming in, figuring out what the hell's going on, for still smelling the toothpaste kind of thing.
Yeah, which is what I was doing. I was rolling out of bed and I was rushing, which started my day stressful, because then I was worrying about being late to start the podcast, or I was worrying about being late for a meeting. So, and what I'm not going to do, one thing I've said to myself is I'm not getting up earlier to get in work earlier. I'm getting up earlier to have a bit of time to sort myself out in the morning. So as you say, I can get in for 9:30 and I can go straight away. That's my
some
plan.
Days it might be, you know, you got to come in work early some days, you know, it'll be a balance, I guess.
It will be a balance, and also I'm going to mix it up with my PT sessions.
We got spin this week, haven't we?
Spin tonight, we're going spinning.
Busy yesterday, I'll say. Oof. In the gym yesterday, first Monday back, it was very busy.
So I've done yoga this morning, I'm doing spin tonight.
I'm proud.
Thanks.
I've not done yoga this morning, but I'll be there for spin.
But I've got goals that I want to hit with my yoga. I really want to be able to do the crow, and I really want to be able to do a headstand. So I'm starting.
That's good, isn't it?
That is definitely. And the thing with yoga is a progression. Mm. You can feel yourself getting better, and you're not competing against anyone else. You're competing against yourself to get yourself to a point. So I'm excited. And that's one thing, because I was trying to figure out how to figure out what hobbies I should have, because trying to find what my time should be. I didn't want it just to be me sat on the sofa watching Netflix. I needed to figure out, I didn't really have a hobby, and I needed something outside of work to keep that fire burning and keep me inspired. And I realized that yoga's it. I really love it because of the way it makes me feel and the progression that I see. It taps into a lot of my values. So I'm excited. I'll keep you updated on how that goes.
So just to recap, this is coming to the end of the podcast, how do you think people can create long-lasting positive changes, not resolutions, in their life?
I think it's all about how you can grow for 2020. I think it's about how you can make small growth changes every month. Which links back to what I've set for people in work. I've set quarterly goals rather than annual goals, because they just feel too big, and then you can easily discount them because they feel so far away. But I think by looking at each day, each week, each month, what you want to achieve, but also really understand, and everything goes back to understanding yourself and your values. Understand yourself, understand what makes you happy, and then find a hobby that relates to that. and find the time to make yourself do that hobby, because you'll naturally gravitate to wanting to do it, which makes your goals a lot easier. So like reading, if it was reading and I wanted to read more books, which is what I've said I'm going to do, but it was actually physically reading it, I would never do it. And I would fail at the first hurdle because I can't read and I struggle to read a big book.
It's instantly a chore there, isn't it?
Instantly a chore, and there's a blocker, and it's easy for me to discount it and not do it. With the audiobooks, and because I've now got my new kitchen and I've got a new little Sonos speaker, in the morning when I'm having my
little need to show off.
Breakfast, I'm so happy with it though. My Sonos speaker on, audiobook on, I can listen to a chapter while I have my breakfast rather than automatically sitting down and sticking the telly on the weekend.
And that is probably the most important thing out of the podcast, is if you're making these changes, not for it to be a negative thing. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm just like going off what you've said, but not these negative things. I must lose weight, so I've got to go to the gym, or I want to read more, but I can't really read. Instantly a chore, negative thing there. But if the goal is something more positive, and it's like expand the mind, become more intelligent, you don't, it's not reading.
Yeah.
You'll find what is your, if reading and audiobooks are the same goal,
yeah,
expand your mind. What's yeah. your version of?
What's your version yeah. of how to reach your goal? Rather than trying to force something that isn't you, which goes back to understanding yourself and your values and what makes you happy. And if you find something that links with the ambition, that links with your values, that makes you happy, you are more likely to do it.
Yeah. Same with gym as well. It might not be the negative one of lose weight. I've got to go to the gym. I hate the gym. That's why I don't go to the gym. It might be, what's your alternative to that? Is it just walk into work, or?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's probably what, just a positive.
Yeah, it's what makes you happy. On it. Yeah, because you're more likely to stick at it. So I want to wish everyone the best of luck for 2020 in everything you try and achieve. We're not going to need it. I don't think we are. I think we're going to do it because we're going to break everything down. And I'm confident that I'm going to turn my new ambitions into habits rather than being a resolution.
Nice. I've enjoyed the positivity that this has ended on and started with, I guess.
Yes. And I want to thank you so much for listening and coming back to us after our Christmas break. It's an absolute joy to be back. I'm so happy.
We just went straight back into it.
I know.
You know what I mean? I thought we might be a bit rusty, but
nah.
I'm just going to say a big well done to us.
Well done to us. And we will see you next week.